You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
So, good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Comedy Cellar show here on Sirius XM Channel 99. We're here, of course, with Dan Natterman and Nimesh Patel, and Hello. We have one of our most desired and greatest guests ever, Mr. Brett Stevens.
Now, the jokes have already started.
You forgot to mention that my agent is here. She's auditing. She's not here to speak.
Let me just read the introduction. Brett Stevens is an American journalist who won a Pulitzer Prize for commentary in 2013. He works for the Wall Street Journal as the foreign affairs columnist and the deputy editorial page editor, and is responsible for the editorial pages of its European and Asian editions. And you're a big hero of mine, and always have been. So
you have a small cast of heroes.
No, I do have a small.
Well, I like. Can I introduce you to my hero?
I mean, small in the sense of your heroes are
aim
small.
Low. No,
you're aiming
can
low.
Can I briefly introduce you to my hero, Tova Silberman from the Gersh Agency?
Yes, hello, Tova.
I'll say hi and nothing more.
She's not here to talk, but I'm hoping one day she will be a guest. I think she's very interesting because she is an agent that actually loves comedy. Right. She's a comedy agent that loves comedy. Now, how often do you see that?
Mr. Stevens.
All right, no, I'm just
we couldn't have you at a better time. So let's just jump right into it. And you tell us, what is your take on this whole Trump tweet with the about being wiretapped? The tap, T-A-P-P, the tap.
Well, I guess there are two theories that are plausible, and one is slightly more disturbing than the other, although I'm debating
which it is.
One theory is that Donald Trump is, as I put in my column this week, a verbally incontinent 70-year-old man given to believing preposterous conspiracy theories, who woke up early one morning, read something in Breitbart or heard something on the Mark Levin show, and went berserk for an hour or so before deciding to content himself by tweeting put-downs of Arnold Schwarzenegger's performance.
You mean Rafael Cruz didn't kill President Kennedy?
I've always actually thought that. No, that I need to be careful about making jokes even here. So that's theory A, which is grumpy old man. I'm already upsetting people listening to this podcast. Grumpy old man wakes up, reads something stupid that upsets him but squares with his conspiracy theory worldview, and accidentally creates yet another hurricane moving through the United States government, which he is now trying to discover evidence for beyond what is simply reported on a handful of sources. Other theory is he was very concerned about Sessions, his recusal, the persistent questions about the Trump organization and the Trump campaign's connections to Russian officials or Russian agents of influence. And so he decided to create a kind of, how shall we say, counter scandal in order to obscure what ought to be the main news, which
take
is
eye off the ball.
Which is, did the Attorney General of the United States mislead Congress under oath with respect to his ties or relationship with the ambassador from Russia?
I think it's the former. You want to?
I don't think.
You hate Trump, correct?
I don't hate him, but I do despise him dearly. Okay. Hate is very strong.
What is? where does
hate end, the despise
where
begins?
Does well, despise end,
because I get it. I get him.
I see.
I get the nonsense that he's doing, but hate is just like visceral. Like, I hate relish.
Well, yeah, despise and hate, I think, are synonyms.
All right, go ahead. Nimesh,
whatever.
Ahead. I'm not.
I don't think. Well, if he was wiretapped, we would have heard it already. So that's why.
Can he call up and say, "Hey, did somebody wiretap me?" He doesn't have access to that information.
The question is, and this was brought up by Rick Wilson, a Republican strategist, is if Obama really wanted to do a dirty on Donald Trump during the campaign, he could have just found a way to release his tax returns, which are really, in fact, at the beating heart of all of these suspicions, because there are questions about the Trump Organization's ties or absence of ties to well-to-do Russians who may be connected in one form or another to the Putin government.
Aren't all well-to-do Russians connected in one form or another to the Putin government?
That's probably true, or at least the vast majority of them in one way or another.
How else did they get well-to-do?
Well, there's only one way in Russia. Yeah. I mean, I guess running nuclear weapons rings in... that's probably connected.
In some way, they got to have the blessing of Putin to become super wealthy.
Yes,
in Russia.
He is. He is the only, as the Russians say, the only vertical of power that matters.
Right.
I had to just jump in really quickly and explain to Tova, because she's probably confused why there's a political discussion of this seriousness going on. That's what Noam does. Yeah.
I mean, I love it.
I try to steer the podcast more into show business and think the comedians, the Comedy Cellar. What can I do?
All right.
He's the owner.
I mean, in some ways, there's... The thing is, if this were happening...
Sorry.
If all this were happening in another country...
It is happening.
We would find it somewhat comical. In fact, it did happen to a large extent in Italy in the 1990s, and then in the last decade with the rise of Silvio Berlusconi.
Berlusconi, yeah.
The politician with whom Trump is most frequently associated. It's that when these sorts of things or shenanigans are taking place, or these questions are being raised about a president who has a vast nuclear arsenal at his disposal, then the stakes grow considerably greater.
What did you want to say, Nimesh?
I was going to say, if it is true that Obama wiretapped him and Trump is like legit afraid of what's going to... I'm more curious to know what he thinks Trump or Obama got on him, just because all the shit that we've heard that hasn't hurt him at all. Like grabbing by the pussy or that golden shower thing. I don't know if that's true or not. But like, if Trump did nothing, didn't care about that in the slightest, what did Obama find on Trump that was like...
It can't be. But do you think he's tied up with the Russians?
Oh, Trump?
Yeah.
For sure. Dude, there's video. Didn't he do an interview like years ago where he's like, oh yeah, Putin's my homeboy?
No, well look, you see, this is just the thing. I mean, one of the reasons why people were right to... dump on BuzzFeed and its editor Ben Smith when he released the Christopher Steele dossier is that
the golden shower.
That's the golden shower.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which he
yes,
which he definitely did, by the way.
We got to explain it to our audience.
I'm not so sure, but look,
he denies it the way anyone denies something that they definitely did, which is he doesn't deny the
action.
That's
the way you deny golden showers.
Yeah, he denies it. He denies the facts, not the situation, or not the actual action. He denies I didn't get pissed on in Moscow.
You see, here, okay. So if I can be argumentative,
please,
I think you're
please.
Doing what Trump is doing, which is you got a hunch about a guy who you have many reasons to dislike. And so therefore, you jump on a thinly sourced accusation and say, yeah, that's true. But that's exactly what Trump is doing.
That's
Trump
fair.
Hates Obama. He thinks that Obama was up
despises
to no good.
Obama.
Despises Obama. Thinks that Obama was capable of all kinds of misdeeds, all kinds of lawlessness.
Mm-hmm.
Sees a thinly sourced report in Breitbart or wherever it is that Trump came across this, and then immediately tweets it as the truth. Now, it's one thing, with respect, for you to just speculate here at this table. You're not the president of the United States accusing your predecessor
not yet.
Of, well, good luck, but accusing your predecessor of a high crime, which,
right.
if in fact true, would be a crime on the order of the Watergate scandal, if not exceeding it. So that's the kind of allegation that should always be made with a high degree of caution and only on the basis of really hard evidence. It's why, you know, it's why we have the kind of journalism we aspire to at the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times or other Washington Post, which is... You source a story like that not once, not twice, but three times, and in fact, eight times, because the allegation is so potentially explosive that you fear the damage to your reputation for trustworthiness should it prove to be false. Now, Trump doesn't give a damn, it seems, about his own reputation for trustworthiness, and he's trafficking in a coin of rumor and belief which should be beneath the trashiest tabloid in your supermarket, never mind the presidency of the United States.
And his language, calling him sick. I mean, yeah. Who does that?
A 70-year-old?
No.
Who's just run out of shit to say?
Going
back to your point, I agree. I am just trafficking in the same shit that Trump does, but...
But he's a comedian.
My bar is much lower.
Much lower bar.
You know, I make like maybe 50 people laugh downstairs with the nonsense that I say.
Out of 200.
Yeah.
Now, no, Nimesh, in the interest of lightening the mood, just for a second, what actor does he look like that's famous for Quentin Tarantino movie roles?
I was going to say, who's the guy in Saving Private Ryan?
No. Think Tarantino.
I can't say Travolta.
No, think Django.
Brad Pitt?
Christoph Waltz.
Oh, the guy who played the Nazi in...
The guy who played the Nazi in Inglourious
Basterds. I was going to say Ed Burns.
No, never mind.
You know, Ed Burns in you.
Let me ask you a question.
So many different angles.
I only play a Nazi on TV, right?
Let me ask you a question about...
There's nothing wrong with looking like a Nazi. Just don't have his ideas.
I'm trying not to.
Nothing wrong with looking like a Nazi. In fact, I aspired to it myself.
they were smart dressers. Dan believes that despite what the Nazis have done, the entertainment that they've given
us... I don't think it makes up for it. I think they did what they did. We can't change that. But we have the entertainment.
The producers, Hogan's Heroes.
TV shows, movies, films, etc. Okay.
Springtime for Hitler in Germany, winter for Poland and France.
The truth is, the World War II was an event we'll never see its like again, in all likelihood, in human history.
Don't be so sure. Why? How can you say that?
I can't say it for sure, but I can. It was so incredible. We only had one in the history of the world.
Well, just to recenter this conversation.
Please.
If you read... contemporaneous descriptions of Benito Mussolini from the 1920s, before Hitler came to power, the way in which journalists described Mussolini, what they called his attitudinizing, his posturing, the fact that he made up reality as he went along, right. His macho cult.
I'm hearing you.
all of this ringing a bell here?
Well, this is good news because this means that Trump is no Hitler. He's just a Mussolini.
then consider these other facts that
just a Mussolini.
Trump is coming to power. Trump has become president at a time when someone like Marine Le Pen may become the next president of France, where the European Union is dissolving, where Vladimir Putin's influence is ideological influence, never mind his actual power, is greater than it's ever been. When you have a guy like Duterte in the Philippines...
Never heard of him.
Well, he's killing thousands of people. You've never
Duterte?
Heard of Duterte?
He's like...
The president of the Philippines?
He's like, you should kill 9-year-olds if they do drugs. He's crazy.
Seems like a guy I should look into. Go ahead.
So the point is this is all happening at a moment when what we used to call liberalism is in retreat, in decline. When you talk to people and they no longer believe... ordinary standards of truthfulness, of fact, a statement like alternative facts can have some currency with a large number of Americans, where people are sick of regular democratic procedures and checks and balances, and they just want their president to get it done when they're willing to believe outrageous things about the man who was just president a couple months ago. Is it really so different from the kind of ideological swamp of the 1920s that ended up leading to World War II?
Yes, like all these people are just thirsty for revenge and not going the way they wanted.
I don't think Hitler was a unique individual. He's a really unique cat. We don't have him. And it is different because we don't have Hitler. Well, and because, you know, the world was in dire straits at that time. Are things that bad in America?
To convince me that's
going to push people that far to fascism, you know, I mean, people...
You'd have to paint for me the picture of what you think Donald Trump, how he would like to shape the world if he had the power to do so. Does he have Hitler-like ambitions in any way?
I don't think of Trump as Hitler. I think he's too buffoonish. And I don't, I mean, number one, I don't
then
think...
Then it's all good.
Yeah, I mean...
No, not really.
Wouldn't he need the military
in some way? How debased do your standards have to be when you say, well, so long as he's not Hitler, it's all good?
Our bar's a lot
You obviously don't believe what... I mean, you're just... nobody seriously can believe that.
No.
I mean, well, you have to understand, I'm trying to inject a little bit of comedy into this thing.
There is no comedy. It's all darkness.
It's all dead.
There is,
man,
no dark side of the moon, really. It's all dark.
I want to ask you a question. I want to push back, devil's advocate.
Go for it.
And when I'm looking at it from the other direction, I say to myself, McMaster, Mattis, these guys are lifelong patriots.
Right.
Would they look the other way for Donald Trump to fulfill his, to engage in his criminal conspiracy with something brought up? Would they stand for that? Point A. Point B, there must be 25 to 50 people who've seen Donald Trump's tax return. If there was some smoking gun in that tax return, wouldn't somebody, he can't even keep his closed meetings of 8 or 9 people secret. Can they really keep something explosive in his tax return a secret? It just seems to me it would come out.
Well, that's, I mean, it's true to the extent that eventually the truth comes out and eventually, you know, we get hold of documents, things leak. It's in the sort of nature of reasonably open societies where the penalty for leaking isn't death. And it's also true,
or somebody in his accounting firm, there had to be a whole slew of people working,
well,
on his tax return.
Well, some of it leaked to the New York Times last year, yeah. The $960 million loss. I wish I had $960 million to lose in a single year.
Now you sound like a liberal.
Here's the issue. First of all, I think guys like Mattis and McMaster are patriots. And to get to what we were talking about earlier, I do, you know, of course I wish the administration well. I hope they do the right thing. I hope Trump decides to become a serious president and become a uniting figure and drop the more divisive and dangerous aspects of his agenda. I hope he drops the anti-immigration rhetoric, for example. I mean, this country is, everyone around this table came as an ancestor who arrived dirt poor and afraid on some boat at some point or on some plane.
Right. That doesn't mean that everybody and anybody should be. There has to be some limitations.
Yeah, this guy. Everybody except this guy.
Did you come here? Were you born here? You were born
no,
here.
I was born in Jersey.
You were born in Jersey.
My parents came from India. But yeah, I wasn't going to say.
My parents drove here from Canada.
I consider New Jersey another country, too.
I mean,
there should be border controls
it
there.
It is.
So, no, why isn't there like a passport control at the Holland
Comedian.
Tunnel?
Look at this guy.
I do, you know, I have to admit, I am a child of immigrants, but I do worry that the immigration of today is different than the immigration of my father's generation in terms of its yearning to become part of the social fabric of America in the way that my father was, you know, extremely patriotic. I mean, tears in his eyes at an Abe Lincoln movie after being here since 9 years
and
old.
And I was with him at Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer, and I can vouch for the fact that he was crying.
I have a lot of immigrants who work for me. When I speak to them about their attitudes about America,
nobody caught that one.
You'd be shocked at how much resentment they will express towards this country. How
look, you know, but I think that's because you are... mythologizing the immigrant experience. You know, a lot of immigrants came to this country dirt poor and became communist radicals on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, okay? That was not exactly an expression of love for George Washington and the founding ideals. Immigration patterns are always bumpy, so to speak. I mean, my mother came to this country as a refugee in 1950 after World War II.
From where?
From northern Italy, but she's Jewish, and family was originally thrown out of Russia, thrown out of Germany, ended up in Italy, and then here. And then
your mother was Jewish, your father was not.
My father is Jewish, too, but he came from a different...
Let me get this straight. Both sides are Jewish, and you look like the Nazi from Glorious Passage.
You see, I've assimilated so successfully that as the son of a girl who made it through the Holocaust in Nazi-occupied Europe, I get to be a Nazi lookalike.
That being said, Christoph Waltz that, is not
is
the most...
Is this a great country or what, right?
That being said, Christoph Waltz is not the most Aryan of the cast of that movie.
All
but
right. let the man finish his point about immigration.
Well, look, I mean, I don't know about your experience. My experience of meeting immigrants, I grew up in Mexico City. I'm born in New York.
Did you know Louis C.K. out down?
Louis C.K.
I know
Mexican.
He grew up in he's 10 years older than I am, so I never met him. I wish I had. goes to show you what great...
I'll call you next time he's here.
What great people, you know, we produce. These Jews who end up in Mexico.
Jewish Mexicans are... Yeah.
All the rest of it. Anyway, I speak fluent Spanish. I chat with Mexicans, immigrants all the time. I think they're model Americans. I mean, go to a town like Porchester outside of New York City, like half an hour north of New York City. Porchester was basically a really down-at-the-heels town maybe 15, 20 years ago. And now Latin American immigrants are remaking the place and bringing life back to it and bringing restaurants and commerce and business. I mean, the image of the immigrant as not patriotic, not willing to integrate, not entrepreneurial, mooching off of someone else's dime.
I didn't say that.
But no one ever said they're not entrepreneurial. In fact, yeah. I posed the question just last week is, would we have convenience stores if we had to rely on white people?
Well, let me actually offer you a counterproposal and tell me what you think. This plays at the back of my mind that America should have a system in which we bring in basically any immigrant who isn't a terrorist, right, doesn't mean to kill Americans, we should bring in. All those immigrants, some huge percentage, they're all strivers. They're all, you know, doing their best, trying to raise their children. Their kids become wild, wild successes. It's just a simple fact that the children, I actually learned this the other day. Of the Fortune 500 companies in America, 90 of them were founded by immigrants.
I saw that.
And another 114 were founded by the children of immigrants. So almost, so you're coming close to nearly half of Fortune 500 companies are the product of immigrants or children of immigrants. They're the most successful people in America because they want it the most, right? They haven't been here 10 generations and think something is owed to them.
Did they control for Jews?
But then their kids become lazy, the kids, the grandkids are delinquents. So here's my proposal. We pretty much have an open border system minus terrorists for striving, ambitious people, but their great-grandchildren all have to go back to the home country.
I'm down with that.
That's fair.
It's like refreshing a pool. You need a fresh streams of water, and then you need
to discharge. Let's take an example. I'm the son of Canadian immigrants.
I don't actually believe that. No, we know.
Do believe, however, that with each succeeding generation, people get lazier. That you do believe.
It's
to
often
some extent,
the case.
I think so. But Nimesh, now, your parents are from India. And what is your father, a doctor?
No. He has a liquor store and convenience store.
A liquor store and a convenience store. Okay, works his balls off.
17 hours a
and
day.
And meanwhile, Nimesh is out partying all night.
he's the exception. He should be sent back immediately, right?
Nimesh is getting pussy his father never dreamed of.
Dan. Not in front of the Wall Street Journal, please.
I'm kidding.
Go ahead.
But I mean, Nimesh, you're having a good time.
I'm having fun.
Your poor father busted his ass at that stupid liquor store.
Yeah, so I could go to NYU and then work my dick off in college and then be fortunate enough to pursue this. This is a choice. This is not a, like, I just fell into this, but, like, it came from, but I worked just as hard in comedy as I would have if I worked in whatever, finance, whatever it is. But I think getting away from the immigrant stories, like,
I'll have to take your word for it, Nimesh, because whenever I see you, you're boozing.
You never hear an immigrant story, it's like, I was a king of Ahmedabad and I decided to just move to America. It's like, immigrants love America more than Americans do. And I think there's truth in people that are here sort of take entitlement of, like, this is our place. We won the lottery genetically to be born in America. And so now we can just do whatever the fuck we want and things will be okay, because that's the story of American life. Whereas if you're the kid of my mom and dad, you're like, they struggled their asses off to get here, and now they're like, you got to make sure that, like, you earn your keep, because at some point they might just send your ass back, and that might happen, not to the extent, like, I'm not getting deported, but, like, that sort of metaphorically, like, you have to earn your keep here. That's the thing with America. You earn your keep, and if you don't, then you're shit out of luck, or you put Donald Trump in the office.
I pray that you're right, and my heart melts, really gets sentimental, when I see anybody from another country of any color celebrating Thanksgiving or showing love for the country. But I can't deny that when I have a lot of Mexicans who work, when I speak to them, and we're good friends, that there is something different. Now, maybe it'll dissipate in the next generation, whatever it is, but there's something about not leaving the old country behind, never to return. And to but, you just know, maybe going that's across also, the border, text also, messaging,
but,
all that.
But look, that's there are a few things here.
Snapchat.
If we had a more regularized system of immigration so that it was more, we could bring in more people. People could come through open doors legally.
Yes.
As opposed to sneaking through the border at great danger to themselves. Then we would have a more rational system in which you didn't take, you don't have to exist in an underground economy. You're not at the mercy of coyotes or other underground characters.
Mm-hmm.
You work at a legal job. You're entitled to the legal protections of the normal economy, not a black market economy. Not to say that you would ever employ.
No. I know exactly. No, we don't. Okay. But I know. I've known people, Mexicans who worked for me before they came here, tell me horror stories of working in convenience stores for $7 an hour in the basement, 15 hours. I mean, they're right. At the mercy.
You're not gonna like wherever place you feel unwelcome and constantly scared. But there's a sort of cognitive...
Well, they're also raised on a diet of anti-Americanism. That's how I feel. I worry about it.
That's how I feel performing for black audiences.
God damn.
Well, I mean, but look, that's the
but
other
you
thing.
Still do the
it's
work.
Not,
but I still do it.
It's not immigrants who are insisting on not teaching civics in college. It's not immigrants who are saying college professors ought to teach you that the United States is this giant agent of evil. Those are well-heeled college professors, probably many generations in America, who want you to know that the only story that matters out of World War II is the internment of the Japanese, which was horrible and wrong, but also it happens that in World War II we defeated the greatest evil that ever existed, the Nazis, and we saved Western civilization. And maybe that'll be taught as well. So maybe the issue is are we teaching immigrants the values they need to know about American life?
Yeah, there's a general revisionist opinion of the United States of America, which drives me crazy. It's homegrown as well. I predicted that within the next 20 years, somebody's going to make a move to decommission the Jefferson Memorial because he owned slaves. Like, there's no attempt anymore to judge people within the time and place that they live. You can't say anything. You can't be proud of America's great accomplishments anymore. You have to focus on these chapters that nobody denies.
Here's the thing that immigrants are taught.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. America is a fucked up place. My mom, I wanted to be a journalist when I was younger. And my mom was like, white people will not let you be a journalist. But work your ass off and you can still be something in this country. For all its flaws, you could be something in this country. And that's like the takeaway. Like, you're talking about immigrants are only they're learned to be hated or whatever it is, like with this internment camp story, which is fine and it's true. My parents are always on guard. But there's a way to sort of overcome that, which is keep your head down, work your dick off.
But I think your parents,
your parents' view
of white people, I think, was a little bit exaggerated.
Yeah, they're from India, where, you know, those Brits ran the country for a while.
I don't know nothing about India now, but I'm saying here, we're down with Indians.
I want to ask you a question.
Do you
view the founding fathers, Washington, Jefferson, these people, mm-hmm. as your founding, as people that you are in your lineage in a way? Do you feel yourself a descendant of these people, or do you feel an outsider to those people? Honestly,
I'm not connected to them.
You're not connected to
no,
them.
No, I don't feel any connection to them. But
that's what worries
me. I'm not constantly like, oh man, that. I'm not even like...
Because I feel extremely connected to them, and I'm also first generation.
But I don't feel connected to a lot of things. Like, MLK was great, but I'm not like, man,
But I think what you're expressing, and I'm not angry at you, but I think what you're expressing is widespread. I'm not saying it's a majority. I don't know what the number is. Right. And I think it's unprecedented, and it worries me. That's all I can say.
Unprecedented, I mean, what you're diagnosing is correct in the sense that there's never been such, I think, a lack of basic civic education in this country. I mean, I have children, the youngest is 7, the oldest is 13, and what they're being taught is kind of, it's not exactly like, this is a great country whose imperfect founders, who were human beings and creatures of their time, nonetheless devised a system that contained within it the seeds of its own perfectibility, that contained within it a set of ideas that were universal and that would apply as much to the son of Indian immigrants or Russian immigrants or wherever.
Montreal.
the worst of the worst, the Quebecois immigrants who really ought to be thrown the hell out of this country. You know, that those ideas, what Jefferson enunciated in the Declaration of Independence, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that was an astonishing, amazing idea, that the idea of the pursuit of happiness is an incredible thought. I mean, you don't find it in, you won't find it in, I think, in Indian culture or in a lot of Jewish culture. You pursue status, virtue.
You can say it.
Various other things, but you don't pursue happiness. That's an amazing thought, and it happens to have been founded in America, but it applies to everyone, including immigrants. And it would be an incredible thing if we taught this in a wise way that takes account of the fact that Jefferson owned slaves and that they were all far from perfect people.
We don't believe it anymore.
But that's not the fault of the immigrants. Our fault.
We got to reinstate the draft.
These problems reinforce each other for sure.
Says we got to reinstate the draft. They do it
in Israel, right? The IDF. Everyone has to go to the IDF for like two or four years, right?
It's a very patriotic country.
Yeah, they got to do the same goddamn thing here.
So hearing what he just said, because that to me, that was moving to me. When I hear somebody speak beautifully about this country and it's, it moves me. Does it move you?
I think I'll play a voice memo I made the other day. I think the Bill of Rights and the Constitution are just amazing artifacts that they were created, and they there's a thing that every American can say, be like, I am entitled to these things. That's fucking amazing. I love this country.
Nimesh is pursuing happiness with every waitress in this place.
Now, okay.
The thing is, you sort of take for granted what you're given. Right, I don't acknowledge the Bill of Rights being amazing. It's not in the back of my mind because I know it exists. What pisses me off is this thing happening, or like whatever the people that you talk to are mad at. Yeah. You sort of take for granted. I get to be here. The fact that the son of immigrants can be a comedian chasing whitetail all the time.
Comedy has always been the place for outsiders. So it's logical that you're here, because comedy in every country, the outside, in England, it's the Irish. In France, almost every comedian is of Arab extraction. It's always the outsiders that do comedy.
There's people in India that will never be given the opportunity to do anything just because of what they look like. Whereas here, for the most part, you can still. There could be an untouchable person could come to America and be anything in this goddamn country.
Now, your last
country.
Name is Patel, which I believe is of a lower caste.
It's not,
Dan.
I'm just saying. It doesn't matter here.
It is a caste.
It doesn't matter here. I'm just saying. I believe that he's not a...
But, you know, also, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I really appreciate it, because the Bill of Rights wasn't meant to be learned by heart and treated as a holy relic. It was supposed to be exercised. So the fact that you're exercising it now in multiple ways, by having this podcast, this completely free flow of conversation, by swearing on a broadcast, something that wouldn't have been permitted 30 or 40 years ago, is a more potent expression of the power of the Bill of Rights than simply saying, what does the Fourth Amendment prohibit? Or what does the 10th Amendment say? You might not know it, but it doesn't matter, because you are practicing these things in your everyday life.
Right.
It would help to learn it, but that's I think a secondary virtue. The primary one is to exercise it and just be funny. You know, that matters to us a great deal.
Look,
more than...
I exercised masturbation before I knew what it was. But switching topics.
Anyway.
Is it possible to talk about, because we're talking about immigrants, the scandal with Ben Carson? Because that's something that I have a strong opinion about.
Go ahead, Dan.
And I got my head handed to me on Facebook.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Because I couldn't for the life of me, and maybe this is my white privilege talking, or that's what others would say anyway.
Certainly.
I couldn't for the life of me figure out what the fuck is the big scandal that Ben Carson referred to slaves as immigrants of a sort, which is a bizarre phraseology and a bizarre use of the word immigrants, but
Where's the fucking scandal?
He's just stop with the cursing.
I'm sorry. It seems to me what he was saying, and Obama said the exact same thing in a speech to recent citizens. He said that that slaves were, in their own way, a sort of immigrant.
He did say that?
He did say that, absolutely. Yes, he did. Look that up. It's,
believe it or not, I didn't follow it at all.
Oh, really? So anyway, my feeling was...
What was your feeling?
My feeling was he was simply saying that African Americans, like immigrants, came from elsewhere, contributed to the melting pot nature of America, enriched the country as immigrants did. There's many points of comparison that are legitimate. Obviously, the way they got here diverges. But I just, for the life of me, couldn't see why this man was pilloried for having said that. And I said that on Facebook.
Did you see the video?
I didn't see the video. I read the transcript.
Yeah, no, I felt the same way you did until I saw it and there was something creepy about it. I mean, you can't explain that, but there was just something, and the guy is out of touch in some ways anyway.
Well, no, I think
the guy's
a whack job, and I mean, he's said a lot of crazy
shit.
People
became gay in prison and things like that. And it was just something, it disturbed me, I have to say.
I don't know, I watched the document, or the film, Gifted Hands, and then I practice a kind of conscious amnesia about Ben Carson since his medical career, which was very impressive.
You know, the man...
we're getting to this thing, and Trump seems to find them, like, what's crazy, what's not crazy? What's intelligent, what's not intelligent? Obviously, Ben Carson has to be very, very bright to be a pediatric neurosurgeon. On the other hand, what scientist can say that he thinks homosexuality is caused in prisons? How do you line them up with each other?
Look, I do think that there is... Let me put it this way. As a right-of-center columnist, who is... My views about Trump are fairly clear. I think the left has to be very careful about not falling into the hands of... or playing into the hands of Trump supporters by this nonstop word policing. I think one of the legitimate grievances of a lot of Trump supporters is just exhaustion, if not nauseation, with what goes by the term political correctness, and that's legitimate.
Which is the enemy of these guys,
well,
by the way,
look,
comedians.
The problem with Trump is, I wish you were politically correct, but there's a difference between being politically incorrect and being a jerk, and Trump transgresses that boundary all the time. But saying, oh, he said immigrants, as if Carson doesn't have some sense of what it means to be black in America compared to the Gloria Steinems of the world, it's absurd, and when liberals get in a huff about it, they are just confirming the bias of Trump's most ardent supporters.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on almost everything that you feel about Trump, except somehow I'm still happy Hillary didn't win, and I can't help it. I know that doesn't make sense. I know if I had to do the hiring, I would have had to have chosen Hillary. But viscerally, to see the left and all and everything you're describing get a punch in the eye made me happy, you know?
Yeah, but the cliche is cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Well, that's interesting because I go back and forth on it. Let's say after 4 years, Trump... nothing terrible happens.
Doesn't ruin the country.
But we have a Supreme Court which stays to the right, and we have less regulation, and the things that you and I, as kind of right of center people, would probably be happy about.
Right.
Will it all have been worthwhile?
Sure. I'm not so optimistic as you are.
Sure.
I mean, look, in the sense of if what we've just experienced in the last 7 weeks is the worst of it. These were the proverbial birth pangs of an administration that finds its bearings and governs as a Mitt Romney would have governed the country, okay? Then we're all going to say, hallelujah, we expected Mussolini and we ended up with Romney and everything's fine and here we are, the year is 2021 and we're at the Comedy Cellar shooting the breeze about whatever, then we'll all consider this a great success.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think of this argument? Only Nixon can go into China. Only a Democrat can bomb Korea. I'm wondering if you think that's true. If Trump decides we need to take out Korea or we need to take out the nuclear reactor in Iran, he won't be able to do it. Will he? I mean, the country will go nuts. Where Obama would have a free hand to do it.
Well, I mean, that's why I voted for Hillary. Yeah. I mean, to some extent, look, I always saw as a center-right guy, I thought of the difference between Hillary and Trump as the difference. between risk and uncertainty. If you talk to guys on Wall Street, they'll tell you risk is bad, but it's something you can price because there's predictability there. Uncertainty is very bad because there's no predictability. And, you know, you kind of knew what you were getting with Hillary. With Trump, every morning is a new adventure. Every day creates the possibility of another epic eruption. And what we've seen in the last 7 weeks might just be a foretaste of the Mount Pinatubo that's coming your way, or whatever. Vesuvius.
I love your volcanic.
You wanted to say something, Dan.
No, Nimesh, when you said, will it have been worth it, Nimesh screamed in horror.
Because he's left, he doesn't want a conservative court.
But I wonder what was behind that exclamation of shock.
I mean, the fact that people, like, violence has gone up against brown people is not okay with me.
That happened under Obama.
That happened to Obama too? I'm sure it did. I'm sure, but like with Trump, it feels different.
Now, can I tell you something?
The gut reaction here is like, this is that guy's fault. Let's say those 140 calls that went into those synagogues turned into actual bombs.
Dude, my son was evacuated from, well, he actually wasn't. He was absent that day, but his JCC was evacuated.
Right.
2 Mondays ago. And I felt in my gut, I said, you know what? I just don't blame Trump for this. I suspect that this is more likely some sort of copycat or whatever. And sure, now I don't know if it was the same people, but sure enough, the guy they did catch calling 8 JCCs was some guy, black guy, who was trying to get even with his girlfriend.
Right. But like those 2 Indian guys that got shot in Kansas, and they were like...
2 Indian guys that never been shot. I mean, you're going to blame that on Trump?
Yes.
All right.
Brett, was it? Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I don't pay attention.
It's all right.
I thought the Wall Street Journal was all about stocks. They do other things too, I guess. Anyway, and my feeling about Trump is this. You know, we had to have it out as a country at some point. There needed to be... You know, had Hillary been elected, of course, a lot of people would have been very happy, but it would just been more anger building up. We needed this pressure. We had to have it out at some point. Might as well be now. We got it. Let's have it out.
Yeah, but he risks discrediting what ought to be a movement that many people would get on board, I think.
Well, I mean, that's the main thing, which is if you are right of center, and if Trump's presidency goes as expected, well, you're not going to love the Elizabeth Warren presidency. And you're not going to love the fact that the Democrats, in response to Trump, are going to produce their own version of Trump, their own, you know, Bernie without the charm. And you're not going to like the way that shapes politics. There was no reason why we couldn't have had some Republican who would have corrected what I think are the mistakes of the Obama administration, but done so in a way that would not injure the country and would not injure the brand, as it were, of the Republican Party.
I think it goes deeper. But yeah, now, I've said this. These white motherfuckers are pissed. We pushed them too hard, too fast. They weren't ready for gay marriage,
Wow, Dan.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, and Tubman on the 20, it was too much too fast.
But that's what you're saying is amusing, because Trump is the first Republican president to openly, or at least attempt to endorse gay marriage and all the things that these pissed off cultural conservatives were supposedly exercised about. If that had been the case, they would have gotten Ted Cruz as their nominee.
There's one more thing that you read a lot about in the alt-right. Ann Coulter touches on it. Pat Buchanan touches on it. And I don't know how big a role it's played in all of this, but... The idea that white Americans are going to be a minority in this country, and how important is that in people's minds, and to what extent was this election a reaction against that, in your estimation?
Well, I mean, I don't know. This election was about many things, and I think it's very difficult. I mean, it's like a multiple PhD theses are going to be written sussing out why this election went the way it did. The truth is, it went the way it did because Hillary and her stupid campaign were inattentive to granular polling in 5 states that they should have won easily. And while they were busy campaigning in Arizona, they were losing Pennsylvania and losing Wisconsin.
Yeah, but the fact that a nutcadoodle like this could get an office means there's something crazy was happening in America.
No, I disagree, Dan, because he, as I described before, there was something connecting with me. Like, you know, when Hillary brought out Michael Brown's mom on the convention thing after the Justice Department had totally exonerated Darren Wilson. I mean, you know, to bring out this mom as some kind of victim, it made me nuts.
Yeah, I get that, because I detested Hillary for years and years. And if you had told me 3 years ago I would be voting for Hillary Clinton, and not only doing that, but taking my kids to the voting booth just so they would record the fact that I voted for her, I would have thought you're on peyote or something.
And just to be clear, just cause I'm soft on police brutality. I'm not soft on police brutality. But this was clearly proven not an example of police brutality.
I totally understand how people looked at Hillary Clinton and said, here's a woman who's pretending that she earned it, but we all know she didn't earn it. We all know that nobody would have heard of Hillary Rodham had she not fortuitously married some guy called Bill Clinton, and that most of her success, unlike millions of women who do it without the benefit of a famous husband, right, who rise without the benefit of their husband, that she was a faker in a sense, that she is not a genuine role model for feminists in many respects, and also that she skirts, to say the least, the boundaries of the law, that she has a kind of Marie Antoinette disdain for the rules that apply for little people. I totally get that disdain for Hillary Clinton. But as they said, the election is a binary choice unless you voted for Evan McMullen or whatever.
Guilty as charged.
Or Gary Johnson. And as between those two alternatives, I would rather take the kind of humdrum venality of Hillary Clinton and policies that I generally don't like against the raging unpredictability and frequent descent into bigotry and misogyny that was Donald Trump. And so given that choice, for all my dislike of Hillary Clinton, which I think I laid out fairly expressively just now, it wasn't even a close call. I don't see how...
And is that largely because her foreign policy, for the most part, lines up with...
No, not really. I mean, I'm much more hawkish than Hillary Clinton is. I mean, I'm a Republican,
but
remember.
But she's more hawkish than Trump was.
No, it's because I don't think Trump is the kind of man who can be trusted with any position of public responsibility, much less the presidency. I think Trump has manifestly shown that he lacks what we used to quaintly call character for anything, whether it comes to his wives, his business, or his politics. And that, by the way, is a very conservative thought, right? That character really matters, that we want our presidents to at least try to be in the mold of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and not in the mold of Caligula.
Or Barack Obama.
Well, look, I'll say this about Obama, okay? As much as I really disagreed with his policies, I never disliked Obama as a person. When Obama was carrying out the ceremonial functions of his office, like awarding medals of honor, I always felt he was my president. And I could leave aside
you could take pride in
the
him.
Iran deal or Obamacare, all the things I disagreed with, because I didn't think this was a disreputable person.
Well, now that you know he ordered an illegal wiretap, you might have to reevaluate that position.
If in fact he did, and maybe he not only ordered illegal wiretapping, but he was indeed born in Kenya and was carrying out the agenda of the Muslim Brotherhood and every other crazy thing that people routinely allege.
Trump. Didn't
that Trump alleges about his predecessor. I think it is so scandalously disgraceful to come out with an allegation like that against your predecessor, a president of the United States, without having ironclad proof of the fact, that it just boggles the imagination. And by the way, my biggest fear for the Trump presidency isn't that he's going to turn us into a police state. He's not going to turn us into a police state. He's going to degrade the character of the United States so that things that 5 years ago we would have said, you know, that just is unacceptable in a human being, much less a president, is suddenly going to become A-okay. And we're going to be on to Trump 2.0 and 3.0 and so on.
Will it be worth it?
It will not be worth it, which is why I am not for this
guy.
I think
he ends
we'll bounce
up being
back
just,
from that. I think we'll bounce. I think this is a isolate. I mean, it sounds naive, I know, but I don't think Trump's lining up.
Say the Supreme Court stays right of center like you want and Wall Street or whatever is deregulated, but every moral fiber of this next generation and the people now is completely degraded to where Trump is at. Will it have been worth it?
The question I have to grant you It's a profound question, and I struggle with it.
So maybe I have to amend my answer
in that. There's something that bothers me. You see, I think the Trump phenomenon, ultimately, Republicans who are apologists for Trump think of politics as purely a matter of policy. And for sure, I wish I can get the policies that I want. But politics is more than that. It's also about the fabric of our society and our notions of what's acceptable and what's barbaric. And that's shifting in a noticeable way. I mean, I just read my mail and what, you know, the same Republicans who were screaming about what Bill Clinton may have been doing with Monica Lewinsky, was doing with Monica Lewinsky in a bathroom, are the ones who are completely cool with Trump shenanigans. And I'm like, wait, aren't you supposed to be a conservative? What happened to that baseline notion of a conservative about a person who cares about the moral behavior of others?
Right.
How did this suddenly become okay? Because Neil Gorsuch is going to be on the Supreme Court? I like Neil Gorsuch, as it happens. I just don't know if that was a price worth paying for this kind of man being in that kind of position.
We'll see. All right, we're about out of time.
I would just like to say that you're a hero of Gnomes.
Uh-oh.
But having spent an hour with you, you're not a hero of mine. That's too strong a word. But I like the cut of your jib. And I enjoyed having you. And I hope perhaps you can come back to the show.
Well,
or at the very least, see a show downstairs.
I'm missing Taranto on the editorial page, something awful. Does he write it all anymore?
No, he's now op-ed editor.
Now,
It's a
Wall Street Journal.
Doesn't he miss writing?
You know, he was writing that column for 16 years. That's a long time to write a daily column.
Now,
but he's got a lot to say. Go ahead.
No, I don't read the Wall Street Journal, but it seems to me you guys are like MTV used to be. They call themselves music television, but they did other shit. You call yourselves the Wall Street Journal, but I didn't hear a word about stocks.
No, I wanted.
You didn't ask me once about
stocks.
Well,
where should I put my money?
Lord knows.
I think
I've heard good things about Universal Display.
I think what you should do is diversify your portfolio as widely as you can.
Well, anybody can say that.
I just told you because it's true.
I think the Wall Street Journal is by far the best newspaper there is. And I sometimes read the same story in the Journal and then in the Times. And I'm always notice certain words that have assumptions in them. And I always see the Wall Street Journal really trying to play it down the middle, at least as it reads to me. And that's why I pretty much stick to the Journal now.
Well, thanks for the privilege of being on this Mount Olympus of comic genius.
Not a lot of people get to sit at this table.
Anybody who comes on this radio show is a lifetime VIP at the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah.
Does that include Tova, even though she didn't say anything?
No. And yes. And you know that your sister and one of my best friends is... brother is a friend of your sister's, and she was here a few weeks ago.
I'll have to.
And we met. And then Louis comes down here a lot, and I can text you or something next time I know
Please,
that he's coming.
The guy's a genius.
Yeah,
he is. He's truly a genius.
He would love to meet you.
Really?
Absolutely.
I think he's incandescent.
We'll make it happen. I'll make it happen.
Incandescent's not a word you hear often, but when you do hear it, you remember it. Tova Silberman, thumbs up or thumbs down on the show?
Thumbs up. Thank
you. Did you enjoy the show?
It was
I would like to have Tova as an actual guest if she's willing. She's very shy. But I think it might be interesting because she's a comedy agent. And I think that's an interesting perspective.
Have her on.
I would love to, but she's being skittish.
Okay. Let's wrap it up. Thank you very much, everybody. Good night.
Thank you.